This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report, the special holiday weekend edition, or Christmas weekend edition if you want, because, hey, we're right around the corner from Christmas, which is always exciting. It's always very busy for me, but always very exciting. And I really do appreciate everybody taking some time out of this crazy time of the year to join us on the radio, on our blog, and on our podcast and share all of your thoughts. I had actually some interesting company updates this week, one even coming at the end of the show that are very much worth your time. I am kicking off this show with Chris Temple. I chat with Chris on a very regular basis. He is the founder and editor of the National Investor Newsletter. Chris, what I want to do with you is take a look ahead to next year and assess what we might see in 2008 in terms of interest rates and central bank policy. They very much go together. Let's just get your general comment. What are you expecting for 2018?
Well, I'll tell you, Corey, there's been a few times over the last several years when there have been fairly widespread calls, certainly as we came into 2017, that we were going to see a market move higher in market interest rates. And pretty much each time those calls have been wrong, that rise in interest rates has failed to materialize. But finally, as we're ending this year, as you and I are recording this on Friday, the 10-year yield, which is the bellwether that most people look at these days in a treasury market, is a few basis points above its closing level of 2017. Barring some surprise next week or significant correction in the stock market that interrupts the outflow from treasuries and has people keep some money in them for safety, we're probably going to see a close above last year's level. And regardless, barring something that we don't see on the landscape right now, we are finally going to see in a new year a fairly significant, at least by recent standards, move higher in interest rates, not just by the Fed raising short-term rates, but with the long end moving as well and the yield curve at least not flattening anymore for a while, if not perhaps steepening a bit as it has in the last several trading days. And that's going to have implications for all of the markets, some more than others. And it's going to undergird the view that a lot of people have going into next year, myself included, that this modest rise in interest rates, provided it stays modest, is going to be more of a beneficial thing than not for economic sentiment and for market sentiment. But that market sentiment part, Corey, is going to be selective. We're going to see a rotation in the stock market out of momentum areas, out of the higher PE names that have been the darlings of passive investors and those that just want to chase the FANG stocks. And we're going to see things like cyclicals and industrial stocks, energy, other commodities are going to be more favored, as well as some other value-oriented areas where you've got good earnings and dividends, but you know the momentum players just weren't paying attention to these names.
So, Chris, in terms of the yield curve maybe starting to steepen a little bit and just general short-term and long-term rates going up, how much of this is predicated on, again, the central banks toning down some of their money printing and, in the U.S., the Fed continuing to unwind its balance sheet?
Well, the central banks have been, to one extent or another, the buyers of last resort for treasuries for a while, and that's why I've said a million times that some of these gold yahoos out there that are always talking about manipulation, I mean, whatever manipulation occasionally happens in a gold market is a pimple on a flea compared to the massive manipulation that's been going on for years in suppressing treasury yields and yields elsewhere in the world. That's where your manipulation has been that has affected all the markets. And so what we're going to see in 2018 is somewhat less of that. There's going to be a little bit more room for the market and the investors to determine what these rates are. It's not going to be dramatic. They're not just shutting off the spigot entirely, but there's going to be less new money invested into the treasury markets and injected into markets generally by the central banks. So that is going to allow for at least a modest upward move in market rates as the central banks take less of a position, number one. And number two is the markets see that, but also see that at least for the time being, you've got decent economic growth more places than not in the world. You've got still a pretty good tailwind because of a lot of lingering liquidity. And you've got this evolving theme of commodities, industrial, cyclical stocks, infrastructure, et cetera, that is going to command more of investors' attention than as opposed to just parking money, at least part of it, in sovereign debt because the central banks have your back. That's going to play less this year.
Okay, so a lot of the time when we talk about yields, I think most people think that we're talking strictly about the yields in U.S. treasuries. But I think it's always important to look at yields in other parts of the world, especially, say, in Europe or even Japan. Those continue to be still quite a bit below where U.S. yields are. Do you see that changing at all? Do you see investors maybe finding some value somewhere elsewhere in terms of yields, or just continuing to stick their money into kind of the safe, what they think U.S. treasuries are?
Well, look, that's one of the reasons why all this time, and that's where I talk about, you know, manipulation, at least indirectly, Corey, it's a reason why people are at the end of 2017, when almost everybody at the beginning of the year said that rates would move up significantly, and they haven't. That's why, is because, you know, at 2.5%, to use a round number, for the 10-year treasury, you can't find that yield for 10-year paper most any place else in the world. You got 41 or 42 basis points, whatever it is, in Germany. I mean, even some of the peripheral markets in Europe, whether it's Italy or Spain, their yields on 10-year are considerably less than treasuries are. So that's a reason why these yields have not gone up more than they have, to a lot of people's surprise. And that's why they will still, as they rise, go up only slowly. And part of it will be determined, even in this next year, by how quickly the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan back off. Now, this last week, the Bank of Japan, what some people thought maybe they would back off a little bit, they chose not to. They said, yes, inflation is moving up slowly but surely. The economy is doing far better over there recently than it has in a while. But they still did not change their interest targets on either their short-term rates or the 10-year JGBs. So unless they do that, you're still going to have this governor, if you will, on even treasury yields, where they're not going to be able to rise that quickly. They'll go up some, and I think we're finally going to get an extended period where treasury yields rise, barring something out of left field that changes this whole landscape. But it's not going to be dramatic.
I would agree with you. But overall, I guess, to wrap this up, you're not expecting any major changes to come from the central banks. They're going to stick with this slow and steady move, won't they?
Most everybody will, yeah. I mean, we already know what the Fed says they're going to do. I don't see anything changing that. There may be some tweaking to how the Fed is going to operate going forward, depending on who the vice chairman ends up being, which is probably next to Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch. The appointment of a vice chair is probably the most important one that the president is going to make so far in his term. Larry Lindsey's name got floated at the end of the week. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But, you know, we're going to see the Fed continue to raise interest rates, continue to shrink the balance sheet. The European Central Bank, Draghi, has already said they're going to start cutting back. Japan is kind of the wild card here. If sooner rather than later they relent a little bit, then that'll light a little bit more of a fire under long-term interest rates elsewhere moving higher.
Okay, interesting comments there, Chris. It's always great chatting with you on pretty much a daily basis and having you on the weekend show. Again, hope you have a great Christmas, holiday, all that good stuff this weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Excuse me, sir. Could you take a picture of my family and me with my cell phone?
Sure. Sure, Mrs. Anderson. Smile for the camera.
Too bad hackers never get proper permission to access your cell phone or computer camera. Anyone is or could be susceptible to illegal spying. That's why VirtualShield.com has developed Identisafe, a new security software that blocks camera and microphone access from unwanted spies. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head? Comb it over? Wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts EASY66 to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part, Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY66 to 85850. Ask about the Bosley Guarantee. EASY66 to 85850.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition, then continuing on with kind of a recap of last year and maybe a little look ahead to next year, talking about different sectors. You heard in the first sector about interest rates and central bank policies. In this segment, we're going to talk more broad equity markets and even some emerging markets. I have Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana also runs a couple of sites that I visit on a regular basis, so please always either contact me or click the links below if you want access to some of Dana's material. It's always worth a read. Dana, let's just again recap the U.S. equity markets for this year. The S&P looking like it's going to close, barring any sort of significant move here in the final trading week, about 20% up. We haven't had a 3% correction in a historic number of years now. What's your general takeaway from the relatively calm upward nature of the U.S. markets this year?
Yeah, I have the same takeaway. I mean, it's basically, when you look at everything combined, it's basically an unprecedented smooth ride for investors this year, which, you know, in the moment, it's not always smooth. It's never that smooth. You can't, you never can look at the market and say, well, there's nothing to worry about. But looking back, in hindsight, it was maybe an unprecedented year of smooth sailing for investors. As you said, volatility will go out this year as probably the least volatile year on record in terms of volatility indices remaining so low, as well as, you know, couple that with equity markets basically hardly experiencing any adversity, not even as much as a 3% pullback, as you mentioned. So looking back, it was basically about as smooth a ride as you could ever reasonably expect for stock investors. And we don't expect that to – we certainly don't expect another year of that, but people tend to expect markets like that to suddenly jump into a hyper volatile and hyper adverse environment, and that's typically not what happens. You know, you experience a period of low volatility and smooth sailing, and that period can persist for a while. You know, you look at back in the mid 90s, you had basically 3 years or so from 95 to 97, early 98, where you had like a similar type of a low volatility, steady climb up in the market. That's not our call at this point with for stocks to continue their nonstop trajectory upward. But for the time being, I don't expect, you know, just because it's been super record low volatility, I don't necessarily expect a sudden change from that environment. And in fact, at the moment, things are still firing just about on all cylinders in the equity market, which is, again, we don't, I hesitate to do any of these prediction forecast type of shows or make any crazy predictions, that type of thing. What we do is focus on what's happening now and try to align our investments with that. And at the moment, you know, the stocks continue to perform. And until that changes, you know, we're going to try to align ourselves with that. And so that's where we're going out of the year pretty substantially invested in a wide range array of areas, both domestically and internationally.
So, Dana, just a quick comment in terms of maybe some of the indicators, whether they are even background indicators, what are you going to be watching for that might give you some uneasiness, understanding, as you said, that we don't just all of a sudden get a hyper-volatile market when we've had this kind of slowness? It more builds on itself.
Exactly. Well, the difficult thing about anticipating or being comfortable in an environment in a low volatility, you know, smooth sailing environment like this is that it is juxtaposed against a background, a backdrop, which you mentioned, in which several of the long-term indicators, whether it deals with valuations, sentiment, investor positioning, the backdrop of the market shows that potential risk is maybe as high as maybe we've seen just in possibly the 1929 market and the 2000 market. Other than that, we've never seen, you know, the potential risk as far as, you know, excessive valuations, excessive sentiment, and investor money in stocks as we're seeing right now. So that is what we call potential risk, you know, but it sits there dormant until some sort of a catalyst or the technical picture of the market changes. So we do see the possible market topping possibility as a 2018 event, perhaps, considering the extent of those background risks. But again, until the shorter term technical backdrop of the market or setup of the market deteriorates, that risk will remain potential, not manifested. So we're not in the immediate term, we're not too concerned about it, but eventually there will be a reckoning that we haven't seen probably, you know, at least in the last 8-9 years.
Yeah, this historically long bull market, again, it's going to roll over at some point, but it's getting almost impossible to pick a top because of, well, just how much it continues to grind higher. What about emerging markets, though? You and I have chatted recently, and you've said that you see some opportunities there. You're not the only one that has said that to me. What about currently? And again, I know you don't like making an outlook, but at least looking a little bit ahead.
Yeah, even if that the scenario comes to pass in which the U.S. equity market does finally top out, there still will be potential opportunity elsewhere in the market. We've seen for years we had a historically correlated global equity market where basically everything has gone together. That hasn't always been the case. There's been in the past we've seen a lot more decoupling than we've seen now, and it's our view that with the emerging markets experiencing a quite a severe cyclical bear market from basically 2010 and 11 into that 2016 low, over the last year and a half, the huge rallies they've seen basically may the new cyclical bull market may just be getting started there. And the exciting thing about that is if it is a young cyclical bull market, we're seeing a lot of these emerging markets actually break out finally to new all-time highs over multi-year or multi-decade stagnant period. So if we see successful breakouts above those extensive trading ranges, this could be these markets could be just embarking on a massive upleg that we haven't seen in a long time. And despite what happens, may or may not happen in the equity market in terms of in the U.S. in terms of a potential bear market finally.
Okay. Hey, Dana, always great hearing from you. I do appreciate you taking some time on this weekend right before Christmas to share some of the thoughts on the markets for a bit of our recap show. I hope you have a great Christmas, and I look forward to talking to you in the new year, buddy.
Thanks, Corey. Same to you, buddy.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000,
$1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing on with our look into 2018 and getting some predictions and projections from people who I consider experts in a wide range of industries, but especially the ones we're talking about. And that's why in this segment I am joined by Chris Martinson, co-founder, co-editor over at peakprosperity.com. I love Chris's site, but I've said that multiple times. Chris, what I want to get your outlook for in 2018 is the energy sector. From an oil standpoint, you know what? It's done pretty well. From a uranium standpoint, well, there's some work in the background by some of the major producers that might put a floor underneath this declining price. But overall, talking about 2018 in the energy sector, what are your initial comments?
Well, the only asterisk I have to put on this, and I'm going to put it right at the front of this comment, is if the world goes into a major economic crunch of some kind, a recession or something worse than that, everything I'm about to say doesn't hold. But it's this. 2018 is the year when we discover that oil is actually a really important substance, and there's not as much of it as we thought. And so I want to alert your listeners to a really important piece of data that just came out today on December 21st. And that is that the oil discoveries for 2017 have been tallied up. It's the least amount of oil discovered worldwide in almost 8 decades, just breaking the previous low, which was set in 2016, which broke the previous low, which had been set in 2015. We now have 4 years of the lowest oil discoveries in the data set that I have that goes back to the 1920s. Trust me, this is going to bite at some point.
And you think next year, because what we do keep on seeing is higher rig counts in the U.S., OPEC. Well, they're trying to get the price of oil up, but quite frankly, it seems like they can't really come to anything substantial to change the market. But we have been seeing crude on a pretty nice run really ever since June, July, really the second half of this year. When do you think we finally run through almost this overproduction? Will it be a demand-side spike, or will it be, again, a supply-side decrease?
Well, it's both. And the truth is that the world, when it's going through sort of an average growth cycle, which we are at, even a subpar growth cycle like we're in, is consuming somewhere between 1 and 1.5 million barrels per day more each year. So, you know, next year we would forecast, take whatever this year's forecast of total demand for oil was, add 1.5 million barrels per day, and hey, that's what the world will consume. So the world is continuing to consume more and more oil all the time, of course, because it is the number one transportation fuel and an extraordinary input feedstock for all kinds of things that we seem to like and want. So that's on the demand side. On the supply side, I'm convinced that every single OPEC producer, as well as every single U.S. shale producer, the response to low oil prices, paradoxically, is not to save that stuff in the ground. It's to pump as much as you possibly can. So they've all been going flat out, Corey, doing the best they can. But here's the thing. You have to find it before you can pump it. The discoveries that didn't happen in those last 4 years I mentioned, those begin to not show up starting in 2018 and going on through about 2022. So unless there's an extraordinary and immediate recovery in oil discoveries, we're not going to see any way that those can contribute, even if they did come forward. We're not going to see those contribute to world oil supplies until 2022 or three. So we have a hole in front of us, and that hole is going to catch people's attention again. It starts in 2018 because supply and demand are just about balanced right now, and that goes into an imbalance in the favor of demand over supply starting about halfway through 2018 at the latest.
Okay, very interesting, because there is this lag between discovery and actual production, and the argument can be made that there isn't that much discoveries going on because, well, there's just not that money flush in the system to give to some of the smaller companies and even some of the bigger companies, again, just focusing on pumping as much as they can to get cash in the door. Where do you think then the focus would be? Are you looking at some of the exploration companies, some of the larger oil companies? Where are you going to see this almost benefit investors?
Some of the first rebound you're going to see is in the services companies. These would be the rig operating companies. These would be the, in the United States, we're thinking of people like the frackers, the sand haulers and miners and stuff like that. But, you know, across the globe, it's really going to be the people running the deep water rigs, et cetera. So you mentioned oil's been on a nice tear. It's true. But the actual fact is that oil, where we mostly want to get it from the water, the deep water, the ultra deep water sites, those require $70, $80 a barrel prices to get out, if not higher. Ultra deep water doesn't begin to make sense till we're well over $100 a barrel. So we're not going to see those begin to recover until the oil price goes up. But this is what we learned in 2008. Remember, oil, $147 a barrel. How did we get there? Well, we got there because in 5 out of the 6 preceding quarters until 2018 in July, we saw oil demand either match or exceed supply. Not by a lot, Corey, just a little bit. 500,000 barrels per day per quarter or 1 million is enough to send the oil market spiking. It's a very insensitive market. So it's already balanced. Everybody's already pumping flat out. And 2018 is the earliest year I can imagine where we would see the failure of discoveries in 2014 begin to show up, because there's a 4 to 7 year lag in this business between the finding and the pumping. But 2019 and beyond is where I'm really expecting this to hit.
Now, what about the U.S. shale oil industry? It's been, as I said, one that's almost picked up the slack for any supply cuts we've seen out of OPEC. Again, the story has been that shale oil production even needs around $50 to $60 a barrel. Do you think that the shale industry in the U.S. is going to continue to be strong, or is it going to turn into a game where it is harder to find more and more of these discoveries because they really are short-term production plays?
Well, they're very short-term. You know, each shale well, regardless of play that it's in, is principally depleted, about 85% depletion in the first 3 years of operation. So you get a big spurt at first, and by big, I mean, you know, maybe 800 barrels a day, but more typically 500 barrels per day for that first month of operation, and it just goes whew, straight down from there and is 85% gone. The second thing to understand is that all the players have been doing everything they can to stay in business, and they're still hemorrhaging money like crazy in the shale play. So what have they done? They've gone after their best shale spots. They've been drilling into the sweetest of the sweet spots. We know where those are. They've all been mapped out. So, of course, if you have acreage, you're trying to survive, you're drilling in your best spots. And then the third thing to understand in this, and this is, you know, eluding a lot of people, is that it's also shale oil's other name is light tight oil, LTO. What's the light refer to? Well, it comes out of the ground. It's almost like gasoline. It's very little refining. It's very light. And so when you put that light tight oil into a refinery, what you don't get is the heavier components and what are called the middle distillates. This is stuff like diesel fuel, jet fuel, home heating oil, stuff like that. That's really where the profit center is for a lot of these refiners. That's missing. And the truth is, when you hear about the United States exporting oil, what's really happening is we have too much of the light stuff. Our own refiners are crammed to the gills with it. We can't use any more of it. So it either overflows our tanks or it gets exported. That's what's happening. So the world is kind of awash in this stuff at this point in time. And so we can, yes, have the U.S. drillers can probably ramp up fairly quickly again. But are they going to be able to ramp up another 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 million barrels a day in the next 5 or 6 years? Answer is absolutely not by any analysis I've seen.
Okay. Hey, Chris, I always respect everything that you say, but especially when it comes out in terms of the energy sector, and you bring up a very good point, lack of discoveries and the fact that a lot of these companies have been almost pumping the easy stuff just to keep the cash flowing to stay afloat, which, you know what, is almost a short-term sugar high. Always interesting chatting with you, Chris. Have a great holiday season and a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you, Corey. You too.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am getting a special company update from Canamex Gold. Canamex is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol CSQ, and for everyone down in the U.S., on the OTCBB under the symbol CNMXF. I have the CEO, David Vincent, on the line with me. And David, I want to spend a bit of time on this interview focusing on a recent news release that came out a couple weeks ago, talking about how Canamex had signed agreements with Harmony Chain AS for Ethereum blockchain smart contract tokens for gold and silver. This is almost a new way of funding that you're looking at for Canamex, almost a way of having an offtake agreement for future production of gold and silver. The company owns, has the exclusive rights to 6 of these Ethereum token domain names. But first of all, David, can you take us through how this idea and deal came together to look at blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies as almost a new form of funding for a publicly traded exploration and development company, please?
Yeah, okay, Corey. Just briefly, we cut a deal with Harmony Chain in Norway, which basically gives us exclusive rights to a range of gold and silver digital tokens on the Ethereum blockchain. These tokens come with intellectual property rights because the smart contract attached to the tokens has a certain algorithm attached to it, which is also under a patent pending. So we've cut this deal with these guys, and essentially what we're trying to do is look at the opportunity here with respect to using these Ethereum tokens to raise capital for the company. I mean, another form of financing. So rather than issuing equity into the market for financing purposes, to use the issuing of digital crypto tokens on Ethereum blockchain to raise the capital and move the company forward that way.
And what makes this unique, really, is the fact that it would be backed by, first of all, a publicly traded company and a company that has resources, and eventually, I know you're looking to go into production, down the road, that is, but it almost gives a cryptocurrency some more sort of fundamental backing, doesn't it?
Well, that's correct. I mean, if you look at most of the cryptos at the moment, I mean, they've got no asset backing. So that's the first issue. The second issue is who's issued the tokens. I mean, most of the companies are private companies in offshore jurisdictions, such as Belize and Cayman Islands. So, I mean, the question has to be asked, I mean, who's behind these companies? Are the companies regulated? Under which legal system? And the tokens don't have any asset backing. So, in my mind, there's a big question mark over some of these crypto tokens. So by actually asset backing the tokens, you start to bring some more trust into them. And not only that, if the tokens are issued by a public listed company such as Canamex in a Western jurisdiction, under Canadian law, which is regulated and has full disclosure in the market, I mean, you've got full transparency. I mean, the books are audited. Everything's done in accordance with best practice. So you're starting to bring transparency into the equation. You bring in a token which has some asset backing. So by doing it that way, I think these tokens will be a lot more trusted in the market.
Okay, so David, the company has the exclusive rights to 6 of these Ethereum token domain names. What's the time frame on maybe when we could see one of these tokens start to be traded, an ICO as they're called?
Yeah, I mean, at this stage it's a bit early, but we're potentially looking at first quarter next year to do a pre-ICO and ICO with one of those tokens. So there'll still be 5 others which can be used in the future, which have already been deployed and we have the exclusive use of with Harmony Chain. There's essentially 2 different models in the mining sector. You've got the miners, which are currently mining product, and the second model we're looking at is the developer, such as Canamex, which is a couple of years from production, which has a 43-101 and a PEA, and, I mean, other companies have a PFS and are looking at financing their mine construction. So one of the issues they're faced with is having to go into the market and raise equity, large amounts of equity, or go to a bank and borrow money, or go to a streamer and borrow money against future production. But in a lot of cases, they don't get very good deals, so it's not good for shareholders. So what you can do with those companies is bring in the this model here, whereby they can raise the mine financing via a token issue. That's the model.
It's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out, and I know that there's still a lot of details for us to cover and a lot of questions that people, I'm sure, will be asking and emailing me. I appreciate all of those questions. But again, David, it's almost like a crowdfunding sense, getting away from just some of the major companies and banks, quite frankly, that you have to go to get some of this funding. What has some of the comments from the regulators been, though? Because this is, as much as it's connected with, let's say, the TSX, where you trade on the Venture Exchange, it's also a little bit outside of them.
Yes, it is. I mean, under the securities regulations, there's no major problems with doing this. We've got a good legal counsel in Toronto, and he's looked at all the aspects, and there's nothing to say we can't do it. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean there won't be any resistance from certain parties within the current system, because essentially they won't benefit from it. There'll be no fees and charges for them. So I think that's what the issue is. So my kind of response is, well, if you don't understand it, let's get together and work out how, some way, you guys getting a cut. I mean, that's only fair. And let us get on with it. So, but at this stage, I mean, we can't see any red flags from a regulation point of view.
Okay, and that's the thing. This is still very early stage, but I just wanted to clarify exactly what Canamex is doing here. It's really a different source of funding. You're not a blockchain company. You still have the Silverton exploration underway and the Brunner Gold Project, the development underway there. Let's talk about some of these aspects of the company that are moving. First and foremost, in terms of Brunner, when can we expect that PEA to come out?
Yeah, we've got the PEA numbers. We're just doing a final review now. We could have put out an announcement this week, but since it's holidays, or getting close to holidays, we decided to delay those numbers until early January. I mean, the bottom line is, without going into detail, the numbers are very robust. I mean, it's a a very robust project. The IRR is high. It's got low reagent consumption. It's got a relatively low capex. The first 2 to 3 years is on patented ground, so permitting is going to be easy. We're drilling our water well this month. We're in discussions with Nevada Energy for the power. So from a mining perspective, we think it's going to be a very profitable operation once we get it up and running. With Silverton, which is our exploration project, we've recently acquired another 140 acres in that area. And what's interesting about the Silverton Gold Exploration Project is Newcrest had it for many years, and for some reason they were drilling in all the wrong locations. Yeah, so I mean, this thing's wide open, and we've got the database which we procured a couple of weeks back, and we're going through that now. But there's a lot of data in there, and it looks really good. I think it's going to be a very good project.
Okay, so a couple balls in the air, and that's what I think is interesting. You have the Silverton exploration, and hey, some of the at least the projections around what's going on at Brunner shows that this could be potentially a very good mine for you. Just going off of that PEA back in 2013, I'm looking forward to seeing the updated PEA next year. Can you give us a quick update on what the company has in terms of money in the bank to move these projects forward?
Well, essentially, we're looking at raising some more money first quarter next year, maybe in February, March, via this ICO. I mean, at this stage, we're pretty well funded. So until we get to February, March, you know, we should be fine.
Okay, very interesting, David. I know once you took control of this company or entered as CEO, there's been some changes that have gone on, and I find it very fascinating. Now, with the potential of an ICO coming up, as well as the ongoing exploration and now development of that Brunner Gold project, I do encourage everyone to comment or email me directly at fleck@kereport. If you have any comments for David, and David, very interesting to hear what Panamex is up to. I thank you for the update, and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thanks, Corey.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.